You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Welcome, live YouTube audience. Remember, on Mondays and Tuesdays, you can follow the action along live on our YouTube page, youtube.com/LeBatardandFriends. We are joined now by Ron McGill, as we are most Tuesdays. Ron will give us the latest news and opinions from the animal world. How you doing, Ron?
Doing all right, Mike. Doing all right. Getting a little besieged now with all this stuff that's happening at the Dallas Zoo and, you know, these animals that are missing and hurt and, you know, some inferring they may be even intentionally killed with this vulture situation. So there's a lot of things going on there, a lot of red flags being raised.
I'm not familiar with the Dallas Zoo news. Can you lay it on me?
Sure. The Dallas Zoo is, you know, it's a world-class institution. In the last several weeks, they've had a clouded leopard get out from what appeared to be a cut enclosure, purposely cut enclosure. They had a vulture that ended up dead from, all they're saying is, an unnatural wound. They are not going beyond that. They had another primate enclosure with the enclosure fencing cut, purposely cut. Fortunately, none of those primates got out. And then yesterday, now they had another primate enclosure cut with two emperor tamarins taken, missing. So this is a big, you know, it's a big issue.
Well said.
What the hell's going on over there?
You know, I don't know, Mike. I got to be honest with you. I don't want to speculate. I don't work at the Dallas Zoo. I do know it's a world-class institution. I know staff members who work there who are just absolutely great, dedicated personnel. But from what I'm seeing, this is obviously something being done intentionally. I find it hard to believe that all four of these incidents are coincidence. You know, if I was going to use any kind of speculation at all, I would lean towards some kind of disgruntled employee or some type of, you know, extreme activist who just wants, you know, has an issue with the Dallas Zoo for one reason or another. But at the end of the day, it's horrific because, you know, Dallas today right now is experiencing 30 degree weather. They were able to find the clouded leopard. So it wasn't taken. They found it, were able to re-secure it after it got out.
They found the clouded, because the clouded leopard, by the way, was my number one suspect. Got out, started freeing all the other animals once he experienced life on the outside, killed a vulture just for fun, developed a taste for blood.
That's good, Mike. That's very good. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is my gut instinct, because, you know, Dallas Zoo has a whole series of cameras, security cameras around the park. They have a system or protocol in place. And for these things to happen without being captured through the cameras or through the protocol leads me to believe that it's someone who's familiar with the system and the protocol. You know, it's like I was telling a lot of these people interviewing me, you know, oh, well, what about your security? I go, you know, banks have good security too, but they're still bank robberies.
It's in my experience, watching cinema in the 90s, look at the IT guy. IT guy, and check the Barbasol can twice.
Mm-hmm. I don't put it past anything, Mike, but the sad fact is right now in Dallas, it's 30 degree weather, and if those animals are out, not being cared, they're not going to survive. These little emperor tamarins are only about a pound. They're only about 9-10 inches long. They live in the tropical forest of the Amazon basin. They're not going to get what they need in Dallas, especially in 30 degree freaking weather.
Ron, what are security measures at the zoo? Because fences seem an obvious one. But
sure,
also, how often do people try and take stuff from the zoo?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, years ago, probably 20 something years ago, we had some of our ambassador showbirds stolen out of the amphitheater. Somebody broke into the amphitheater, bypassed the alarm system, and stole these birds. And, you know, the thought comes to mind right away. There's a huge black market for these animals. These were our talking parrots that did the shows. They were kind of our stars of the show. There's a huge black market for that. These small emperor tamarins also have a huge black market. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons they're threatened in the wild, is because they're, you know, raped out of the jungle and sold as pets. And they do not make good pets. People don't understand that. You know, people look at the picture and they go, oh my God, they're so cute. These emperor tamarins have these huge, long, white-like mustaches that come out. And they are adorable to look at. They're absolutely incredibly looking animals, but they don't make good pets. And, you know, anybody who thinks, you know, if it's one of these extremists, oh, I'm just going to set them free because they deserve to be free. Well, no, you may have condemned it to death by letting it out in Dallas in 30-degree weather.
Ron, we find ourselves in a heated MVP debate this morning. Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, who's the MVP? So I'm asking you, who's the MVP of the zoo? The animal. I need three animals. Give me a bronze, a silver, and a gold of just the MVP of your zoo. Mm.
Well, that's a hard one. That really is a hard one. You know, I would go, probably our first MVP is going to be the gold is, well, let's go start with the bronze. The bronze is going to be Goliath, the Galapagos tortoise. Because he's an animal that is the oldest animal in the zoo. He's over 100 years old. He's one of the animals that, you know, select guests can go in and meet him and touch him and scratch his neck. And
he likes his neck.
Call.
Yeah, I've done it before. Yeah. He likes his neck stretch.
I've done that before. So that makes a big impression. So he would get the bronze. I'm going with the silver. I guess it's going to be Barani. Barani's our male Sumatran tiger. And it's that first impression. You know, it's the first main exhibit on the right-hand side, that big tiger temple. And when you look at Barani and his massiveness and his strength, that leaves a really good first impression of coming to the zoo. But I'm going to give the gold to Malcolm the giraffe.
Yeah.
Because Malcolm is the giraffe that'll come right up to that feeding platform, stick out that 20-inch tongue, wrap it around your hand, take that piece of leaf from your hand or the little carrot slice, and man, that leaves an indelible impression, baby. When you see that 20-inch purple tongue come out and you're looking eye to eye at an animal that stands 17 feet tall, that makes an impression. He gets the gold.
Yeah, giraffes are always the MVP of the zoo experience. For my daughter, me, it's so IG friendly. By the way, my wife approached you at the zoo a couple of weeks ago, and she left with the impression that you did not know who she was.
Stop it, Mike. I did. I did know who she was. I was in the middle of doing a special tour for a special guest of the zoo, and I said, oh my God, hi. And as a matter of fact, I said, please say hi to Mike for me.
She omitted that. I don't think that actually happened. And I should have framed it.
Are you a liar? Is that what you're?
1 week, guys. I'm going to do this segment without one of you throwing me under the bus. Mm. Just 1 week.
I'm just saying you've met her several times. It would have been. You should have.
I have met her. I know exactly.
Pretended to be more excited to see her.
She's a stunning woman. I've always been amazed that she married you, but I think stunning. I know stunning. She is very well.
What's that her name? Wait. What's her name?
Yeah. What's her name?
I don't know.
That is a key detail that she omitted. Either you're lying, and I know Cynthia, and that's her name. She doesn't lie. She is saying that you didn't say any of that. So did you know who she was or not, Ron?
I believe Ron on this. I think he did.
Yeah, I
believe Ron too. I knew who she was when she came up to me with her daughter. I knew she was. I am going to admit, yes,
what's her daughter's name?
I'm terrible on names. I'm terrible on names.
What's her daughter's name?
I don't know. I just tell you, I'm terrible on names.
Jesus, Ron. We've had dinner together.
We sat there.
We broke bread.
Remember, we got your daughter popcorn at the highlight thing, and she loved the popcorn. You remember?
Yeah. Who loved
that?
That was my daughter, Ron.
That was Chris Cody's daughter.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Oh wow. What's Chris Cody's daughter's name?
I don't know.
Jesus.
You think you know a guy?
Oh, Jesus.
All right, I'm done with this guy. Anybody else have questions?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anybody's wives' names. I'm sorry.
Well, I got two. First, what's my daughter's name?
Oh, Jesus. Guys, I don't know any names.
Okay.
Let's stop that conversation.
You make us feel like the most important parents in the room.
Wait, not a single daughter? Like, okay, you took my twin daughters, right? You took him for a VIP tour.
I don't know, Stugat. Just saying it right now.
You threw one of them off the golf cart. I mean,
you're not throwing him off the golf cart.
Yeah, unintentionally. I mean,
that was Lewis. You threw Lewis off a golf cart.
Well, I did that to Lewis, but Ron did it to Emma.
Do you know
who? Daughter's name is Emma.
Do you know who just spoke on the air? Who's sitting at the board? No. Who's sitting at the board next to Chris?
Roy.
No.
The other Chris.
Oh, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Come on, you play basketball with him.
Yeah.
You wrangle
Tony kicked my ass in basketball. I'll never forget him.
Wow. He retired you.
He retired me. There you go. Tony solidified the fact that you need to get off the court, Ron.
All right. My second question is, can you explain the benefits of horseshoes for horses?
Yes. Horses, normally speaking, are on a terrain that keeps their hooves in place. However, sometimes when we keep on a perfectly manicured terrain and such, their hooves can overgrow. Just like you go in and get a pedicure or a manicure, those hooves, the shoes protect the hooves from splitting. They can protect the hooves from that type of damage, and horses' hooves, and keep the frog clean by having a farrier go out there and put shoes on your horse. He's basically helping to maintain the health of that hoof, which can be very sensitive. So it's very important.
Ron, I have a question for you. So there are three sort of main animals that are accepted in the popular culture as sort of being okay, or four, I guess. Chickens, cows, pigs, and fish. We've all kind of, as a society, agreed it's not gross to eat those things, and those things are delicious to go with a lot of meals. Is there one that we're missing? Is there something where people will go, oh, that's weird that you'd eat that, but it would be a good, versatile dish with a lot of different flavors, with a lot of different kinds of food? What for you is the animal that humans don't eat that we should?
Well, it's not that humans don't eat it, but most people look at it as some type of weird exotic food. Alligator.
Mm. Really?
Ostrich.
Yeah.
Ostrich also. Really good quality meat, no fat, and high in protein.
What about human?
Jesus Christmas. Who's that? Cody? Did he just say that?
Yeah. Yep.
Wasn't
no,
me.
No, Cody. That's called cannibalism.
Yeah.
But do we know if it's good?
Jesus Christmas.
I mean, desperate times. We're just asking.
Yeah, this is desperate times. Where's Levitar? Dan, I need
him. No, we're just saying in desperate times. In desperate times.
I would have asked that with him here.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
and
so
I would have followed up. I mean,
Ron, the reason why I asked that is because a food blogger was fined $18,500 after posting a video after buying, preparing, and eating a great white shark. Is great white
shark? Well, yeah, because a great white shark's a protected species.
Mm.
Hang on a second. Why are great white sharks a protected species?
Yeah, they should not protect like those animals.
They're apex predators. Like they eat everything.
You need protection.
You occasionally show them who's boss.
They need protection.
Protected, guys.
Why are they
because
protected?
Because they're an imperative part of the food chain. They keep populations in balance. If you don't have white sharks eating things like seals and sea lions, the seals and sea lions get out of proportion. They start eating all the fish. Fishermen are not catching any fish. You start losing the tourism industry and fish. People are not getting enough fish in their diet. It's just a domino effect,
guys. Circle of life.
Great whites are eating the fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
What now?
Great whites are eating the fishermen.
I saw that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron, we haven't discovered like a large percent of the ocean. What's an animal out there that if they discovered it, you'd be like, interesting.
Something analogous to a Loch Ness monster, you know, something that is so deep in the ocean that has not been
like
seen.
Like a Mosasaurus?
Something like that. A Mosasaurus. It's called Mesosaurus, I think. Yeah. Mosasaurus. Yeah, okay.
My wife's name is Cynthia, so just file that one away.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that one.
Yeah.
$3.
And Stugot's daughter's name is Emma. How about that? Yeah.
How about the other one?
How's the other one?
I don't know what the other one is.
She's been.
Anyway,
you've been.
The bottom line is,
how do you see my wife for 15 years at show events and whatnot?
Right.
My daughter's name is Claire, by the way.
We've had maybe 400 interactions. It's just deeply disappointing.
You know, let me explain something to you guys, and I say this with pure sincerity and humility. I'm old. I'm forgetting things I did yesterday. I'm serious, guys. I'm really forgetting
Mike
things
has something
I did
for
yesterday.
That.
Yeah.
Mike, there's going to come a day I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to forget your name. I feel it coming.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be that I don't treasure our friendship, that I don't have the utmost respect for who you are. It's just that I'm freaking old and I'm forgetting names. I don't know what the problem
that
is.
That happens.
But
COVID
happening.
Brain.
Yep.
Ginkgo. Intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
The right diet.
Little alpha GPC.
A little antidepressant.
I talked to him when you're 60. Brother, talk to me when you're 60.
Well, Ron, speaking of old, Greg Cody was here.
Lexapro.
And he left. And we were wondering, Chris was really pressing him on this, and I don't blame him. But Greg is saying, because he has a dog, he's less than 1 year old, I think, that he cannot leave him in a cage for four consecutive hours because it's a really bad thing. So how long can you? I'm really checking on Greg Cody and whether or not he just felt like leaving a couple hours early today. What's the longest you can leave a dog in a cage and feel good about it?
I've left, when I first get a dog, a puppy, I leave him in the kennel overnight, over 8 hours. That's how you kennel train a dog, so that he knows to hold it, because dogs instinctively, even as puppies, they don't want to defecate or urinate where they sleep. So he'll hold it in that kennel until you open the kennel, and then you take him for a walk immediately. And that's how you slowly but surely puppy train an animal. how to be crate training.
My dog, my dad claims that he gets home after 4 hours and the dog shits and poops in the cage. And that's why...
Shits and poops?
He says, yeah. He says, that's why he... Oh, my bad. Peas and poops.
Yeah.
You know, he may have...
Or he just wanted to leave early.
He may have just wanted to leave early. He may just hate my segment and not want to be there.
No, he loves your segment. It was...
Yeah. I got a sneaking suspicion he'll be back for the post game.
I don't mean to... impugn Greg's ability as a dog owner, but he seems like he's having a very difficult time controlling Jumpin' Charlie, and that other dog owners seem to have a stricter handle on their ability to train their dogs. It doesn't seem like Greg has a firm enough hand.
Listen, with all due respect to Greg, you know, dogs are different. There are different personalities in dogs. Some are easier than others. I mean, I'm sure you could talk to human parents that said, you know, I couldn't get my kid to sleep overnight until he was like five. Whereas me, I train my kids the way I train my dogs. I remember when our first child was born, he would start crying like, oh, my wife is going, I got to go see him. I go, no, you don't. There's different cries. Let him cry. No kid ever died from crying. Okay. And my wife is sobbing in the bed as I'm making you do this. And sure enough, he would stop crying after a while. Then he start again. I said, okay, go in there. Because what he cries so much that he actually vomit. He gets so angry that he actually vomit. I said, okay, let's go in there, clean it up. Put him back in, but he's not coming into the bed with us, okay? And that was something that it was very difficult for my wife. I understood it, but she'll be the first one to tell you now that both of our kids were sleeping through the night by the time they were 2.5 months old, through the night without a problem. And that is something that is necessary, not just for the kids' health, but for your own health, guys, your own health. You don't wanna, you know, I love my kids as much or more than anything in the world, but I also love my relationship with my wife, and you gotta be able to know how to keep those things separate.
I love my relationship with my daughter as well. Her name is Juliet, just for future reference. Spell it the French way. All right, Ron, you've insulted everyone at their core. Chris, you want to remind them of what your daughter's name is, or have them guess at the next highlight event?
Well, you can't get into the next highlight game unless you say Mike and I's daughter's name.
Yeah.
I already forgot Mike's daughter's name.
Oh, my God.
This is frightening. I'm sorry, guys. I really am. I'm sorry. Listen, you guys can cut me loose whenever you feel necessary.
No, we're cutting you loose.
Nah, we love you, Don.
No.
I don't think I've ever even told him my daughter's name. This is an unfair game.
Totally unfair.
Don
and he
McGill.
Saw my daughter 15 years ago.
Don McGill.
Hey, you guys laugh. You know, Letterman, that's a big joke, because when I did the Letterman show and I did it more than once, he always called me Don. He never called me Ron.
Give it to him.
Oh, man.
Give it to him.
Yeah, I know it sucked, but you know, the way it was.
Ron, did they call you Don McGill in Sabo Gigante or no?
Don Ron.
Yeah. Don Ron.
By the way, the Emperor Tamarin looks like Dave Letterman looks now.
Yeah, well, that's true. Look at him. That's how I feel. I feel like that old grizzled beard guy who just is lost in his own mind.
Mm. Yeah.
If you ever started your own signature rum, you should call it Don Ron.
Don Ron.
Or Rum McGill.
That's good.
It's funny because that's how Don Francisco used to always refer to me. Ron, like the rum. Because, you know, that's how they spell rum in Spanish. Bacardi.
Wrong.
It's R-O-N. So,
are you a Ronald?
Yeah. I am a Ronald. I hate that name. I despise that name.
Really?
Yeah, I despise it.
Yeah, you make a decision at some point to be a Ron.
I made a decision to be Ron many years ago. I cut out, I think only my mom and my neighbor from when I was a little kid still calls me Ronnie.
Wait, you're a Ronald or a Ronaldo?
I'm a Ronald.
Okay.
So mom will call you Ronald when she's mad at you, right?
Ron.
She's always called me Ron. She's right. Never, yeah. My dad couldn't pronounce it. I don't even know why they named me that, because my dad couldn't say who. He has such a heavy Cuban accent. Oye, Ron. So he just ended up calling me Cabron.
Cabron.
Don Ron.
All right, Ron. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully I can remember to call in.
Yeah, you've forgotten recently.
I didn't forget. I was in an emergency. You know what, guys? I'll talk to you next week.
You're slipping.
All right.
See ya.
Claire.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Chris Cody does an impression. Just be careful.
Dangerous game. This is a dangerous game.
I don't want to play this game.
No, he was saying, man, I could do such a great Kendrick.
No, I don't want to play this game.
He's like, man, I can talk just
gonna,
like him.
This is who we're going to trust with this.
I mean, you
this.
Do it. Let's let Amin do it, I think.
Stugatz.
I think you could do it, Chris, because you did a great Charles Barkley. You're one for one there.
Did no Super one two. Just hear the segment we just did with Amin? We cannot be
Amin's
taking
judgment is not the
counsel
best.
From the local drunk on whether or not you should do the impersonation of a black man stumbling over his words. Like, you don't see the bad in that.
There it was.
Moses Moody? Moody Moses? Moses
don't,
Moody?
You need that. It sounds
Chris.
Worse.
Be careful, man.
We gotta, like, we cannot do this. It's too close to the line. This is where the line is. Something legitimately funny can't be funny because we're scared our ginger's going to do something racist by accident.
Carry the hell on, Dan.
Rachel.
Dan, the line is where we feel alive, though.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Mike Scherer is with us, our Kings correspondent. And Mike, I am telling you, we'll have stat of the day. We'll open up a pack of baseball cards, but you and I stumbled upon something last night via text, and it was because yesterday when you opened the pack of cards, you pulled out a Bruce Hurst, a classic number two starter for the Boston Red Sox. And so I told the shipping container that you and I had this discussion. I told Whittingham last night, and Whittingham nonstop, just peppering me with number two starters. You called it the definitive list, which I think may be overselling it just a little bit. But I told the shipping container this morning of our conversation last night, the top five number two starters that put a smile on your face. Not great number two starters, because Cliff Lee was a number two starter, and that's staggering. To think that that guy was a number two starter. Don Drysdale was a number two starter for many, many years. And the beauty of a number two is at times in their career, Mike, they could have been a number one, but maybe they get traded and they become a number two. Pedro was a number two to Schilling, I think, which is ridiculous. Or Schilling was the number two there.
Technically Schilling was number two, I think.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because your point is important here. These are number two starters are good enough to have a run within a season where it's like, whoa, that guy's looking like an ace, but not so good that he can sustain that for the entire season. So what you're looking for is that guy that, like, if your team gets him in the offseason, you're like, that's an important piece, right?
Yeah.
That's a really good, because now the number two goes to number three goes to four.
Right.
But it's not so good that it's not Max Scherzer, it's not Verlander, it's not like your ace. So it's a really, really specific niche that we are all excited about, and Tony is not.
No, Tony is not. Tony, why don't you like baseball?
It's not that I don't like baseball. I just don't like baseball.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Chris Cody is so excited. We've lost him for the entire show.
I've never been happier. Just scrolling through old rosters.
It's great, isn't it? Now, amazing. How do we want to do this? Here's the thing. I'll say this up front. I have like 11 OLIs. Should I eliminate 11? Them to be fair to the game? Just have one OLI?
We could just play the game where we, like, we decide who's in the game and we go around in like a circle, and then it doesn't stop until somebody can't name a pitcher.
We have to all come to a consensus to figure out the definitive top five. And we'll go around in like a drum circle. Everyone mentions a name. Right.
But now it's tough to put a smile on your face. They have to put a smile on your face.
Right. It's your face, though.
It's a key subjective detail.
We've all compiled our list. So we'll drum circle it and we'll figure out together which belongs in the definitive top five.
Okay. I love this. It's communal. It's not a competition. It's a communal exercise. I love this.
Yes, but Chris Cody has 14 pitchers on his list.
No, I do. I think I have 16.
That's okay.
I want to present an edict saying if we've got six people, because Roy, Cody, you, Mike, Stu Gotts, Mike Schur, and myself, we all have top five lists.
Oh.
I mean, this has
you want to cut it?
This has the potential to get a bit zany if all of a sudden we're naming 50 pitchers.
Well, you're going to have to apologize to Giovanni Gallardo then for me.
Yeah, I feel like lads, no LIs today.
That's a good
what?
One.
Really?
No LIs.
I thought we were just
going. No LIs.
This is not, this is not in keeping with the spirit of the game.
We were drum circles. We were
just on drum circles. Get the hell out of here.
All right, let's do rapid fire OLIs.
I mean, what do you want me to do with Sean Estes? I mean,
then Giovanni Gallardo, welcome back to the conversation. Go ahead, Sue. All
right. Sean Estes.
Sue, just go quickly. Rat-a-tat-tat your OLIs. Here we go.
Oh, wait.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, okay, yeah. You go first with your OLIs.
Sean Estes, Danny Cox, Danny Darwin, Pete Harnish, Bert Hooten.
Becoming pretty apparent to everyone that Chris Whittingham has never been in a drum circle.
He's a co-op. He's a co-op. I don't even know what that is.
Oh.
All right.
All right, who's next?
All right, Chris Cody, give me all your OLIs.
Vicente Padilla.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, man.
What was his nickname? Awesome. What was his nickname? Was it El Caballo?
I can't remember.
There was a couple of El Caballos. God, Vicente Padilla. Russ, you're off to a rockin' start.
Russ Ortiz.
So, Mike, these are all, Mike, these are more in their wheelhouse, okay? Like Bert
Hooten.
Gotcha. Bert Hooten touched, like, you smiled, you laughed. They've never heard of him. All right, keep going,
that's
Chris.
That's fine. Kyle Loesch.
Oh, that's great.
Wade Miller.
Nice.
Javier Vasquez. Jeff Suppan.
Soup's on.
Kurt Reeder.
Oh.
And Carl Pavano.
Wow.
Good. Bravo.
He just took three of mine. He just took three of mine. Back to back to back. Kirk Reeder, Carl Pavano.
You could find another three, I'm certain.
All right. Mike, do you have any OLIs?
I already mentioned.
I do.
Mike Ryan, I'm sorry.
Well, I mentioned Giovanni Gallardo, and we're going to go with Odalis Perez.
Oh.
Very nice.
My hairdresser, her name was Odalis.
Odalis.
Mm. Yeah. Odalis?
Odalis.
Oh. Ooh, yes. Mm. I've got a couple OLIs for myself. Mike Mussina.
Moose.
That's an ace.
That's an ace.
That doesn't count.
He was
ruled out.
He's
an ace.
Yankees, right?
He's an ace.
He's an ace.
You were bad this segment.
No, but he wasn't number two on the Yankees.
He's so
I mean,
bad.
But he's an ace.
He's
an ace.
A co-op.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Fame candidate. You can't know Hall of Fame candidates make
can
this
I,
list.
Can I redeem myself with Freddie Garcia?
He was on my list.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
All right, Mike Schur, your OLIs, please.
Chan Hope Park.
That's so good.
Andy Bennis.
Oh, Bennis!
Yeah!
John Lackey.
Borderline. Wasn't ace before, but
Lackey's a number two. And sometimes, Mike, one year he was a number three. I got to be honest with you.
He's also been an ace.
Yeah.
His weird face.
John Lieber.
Oh, wow.
Good one.
And Ben Sheets.
Oh, wow. Borderline ace.
No, he was an ace a couple of years, but then was a number two.
He was a real good pitcher.
Ben Sheets.
Man.
All right, who else?
My OLI is Frank Tanena.
Oh, Frank Tanena.
Oh, Roy, you're singing our tune now.
Yes
nice.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Old soul.
Two observations real quick. Almost every number two starter is a white guy.
Yes.
And number two, almost everyone who has ever pitched for the Twins is a number two starter.
Yeah.
I told them you presented me with an entire pitching staff of number twos.
Yeah,
it was the real quick. This is actually worth reading. Let me just dig this up. This is the Stu Gotts and I were texting about this. Here is the 2010 White Sox staff. Ready? John Danks.
Wow.
Oh, Danks.
So good.
The dirty Danks.
Mark Burley, a little close to an ace.
Yeah, but a number two.
He worked quickly.
Gavin Floyd.
Oh!
Perfect game.
Freddie Garcia.
Yeah.
Already mentioned. Jake Peavy. Peavy, great number two starter.
An ace at one point, I think.
Jake Peavy.
Jake Peavy's an ace. Jake Peavy's an ace.
He went from 1 to 4 over the course of his career. He did. Yeah. The median is a 2. And finally, Edwin Jackson.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's their staff. That's the entire staff is basically number two starters.
Staffs with no aces. We do that tomorrow.
How about
that?
All right. So now everybody has eliminated their OLIs, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Correct.
Jake Peavy, by the way, was an ace until he turned 28, and then he became a number two starter.
Right.
And pitched until he was 37.
Yeah.
Devastatingly good-looking eyes. Incredible.
Very handsome gentleman.
Yeah.
Super. Mm-hmm. Super. All right. So no one from our OLIs you think makes our definitive top five, right?
Probably.
I really like Vicente Padilla.
That's Vicente really Padilla good. Was really good. Royce, who?
That's a strong move.
Did we get a nickname yet?
Roy had a really good one.
No. Yeah, Frank Tanana.
Frank Tanana's good.
Stu, what was your last one?
Bert Hooten.
Bert Hooten is a funny name.
All right, so we need
he's classic.
Let's
he's
come to a consensus.
Classic number two. Hooten.
Let's come to a consensus. Who is the definitive OLI? Give me one name.
Mm.
Are we going
Jeff
Padilla? Soup's on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My vote is for Padilla.
I like Padilla.
All right, Padilla.
Soupon was on my list. I want to give a shout out though to Freddie Garcia. Freddie Garcia to me is like the definitive.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a strong
good.
One.
Right,
I like
that one.
That
was
pretty
good.
That's pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
It's Padilla.
Wow.
So our definitive.
Why do you have final say?
I mean, we got Gavel.
We collected the votes.
Yeah, I got
you. Whoa, I'm sorry.
I just want to thank everybody because that was my response. So I just thank you.
All right, that was our definitive.
Thank the Academy.
And I have a feeling the rest of everyone's nominations are going to be all white, so we needed some representation.
I kind of like shot my shot there. Yeah. Like I know that was supposed to be all OLI. I was going with some of my heavy hitters there.
Really?
This is the highest self-esteem I've ever seen you have.
I love it.
All right, let's give everybody's
He's
number
glowing.
Five.
Chris Godey is glowing right now. All right. He chose Vicente Padilla.
Mike.
Let's go Mike Ryan first. Okay?
Order, I say.
We're going around the horn here, okay?
Everyone's going to give their number five, and we'll come up with a definitive number five.
All right, and here's the order.
Great.
Mike, Roy, Chris, me, Mike Scherr. Okay.
All right.
Got it?
Damn.
Counterclockwise.
Right. Yes.
For those following at home.
Okay.
All right. My number five is Aaron Seeley.
That's
oh,
good.
My God.
Really good.
Really good.
Really good.
Well, there goes my list. Number five, Pat Rapp.
That's a really good one, though. Fun to
good
say.
One.
Two yes. syllables.
But your team's yes. bad if he's your number two, right?
True.
I mean,
good point.
Yeah.
Can confirm
yes.
watching the Marlins
yes.
when Pat Rapp was the number two.
Yeah. Chris?
First three.
I'm going with Rick Helling.
Excellent.
Solid.
Oh, is he?
Excellent.
But you know what? If this were a game about number threes, medal stand.
I'm going.
Chris Cody did some good work looking at the Texas Rangers, the old
yeah,
Texas
he really
Rangers.
Did. Yeah.
Wait, Mike Scherr, do you have Helling as a two or a three? I'm with Mike Ryan. I think he's a three. I don't know.
I think he qualifies. It's like fantasy baseball. He qualifies at the two.
Okay.
I'm going for Bronson Arroyo.
He's more of a three to me, frankly.
Yeah. I'm going Tom Gullickson. Thank you.
And Mike Scherr, you're number five?
Pat Henken.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to go with that one.
Henken won a Cy Young, all did right. he not?
Who's the definitive
Toronto,
number
right?
five out of yeah. all the number fives?
But it was the number two. There's no question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's?
All right, let everyone repeat theirs real quickly.
I had Aaron Seeley.
I had Pat Rapp.
Rick Helling.
Bronson Arroyo.
Tom Gullickson.
Pat Henken.
Wow. I'm going Gullickson.
I'm all going right. Gullickson too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gullickson. Yeah, okay,
thank
there you.
You
go.
Thank you.
Surprise.
Super excited.
Congrats, Sue.
Thank you.
It feels good when you have one.
It really right? does, yeah.
All right. All right, I'll start the round of number four, same order. Kent Bottenfield.
I've never had more fun on the show.
They made a smile. I mean,
I'm leaving after this segment. Yeah.
We should end the show right here.
Mine is Ismael Valdez.
Really
ooh,
good.
Solid play.
Really good.
Ground baller.
Yes.
I'm going with Steve Traxel.
Ooh.
Wow. Again, wow. I think you're playing number threes, man.
3-4. Feels three-ish,
four-ish. Traxel had a two-year.
He qualifies. He qualifies.
Right. Okay.
Randy Wolf.
Oh, it's good. Yes. It's good.
Yes.
Good. Jim DeShays.
You're getting the biggest reaction out of Mike Scherr.
Well, I'm in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, same age. Also, Stu, once I went to the Astrodome to see Nolan Ryan pitch and they gave away foam Ks so you could hold it up every time Nolan Ryan struck somebody out. Ryan was scratched and Jim Deshays got the spot start. Struck out one guy in five innings.
Nary a K.
All right, my number four, Ted Lilly.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Everyone repeat their number fours. So for the audience and for Mike, I'm going Ken Bottenfield was my number four.
Ismael Valdez.
Steve Traxel.
Randy Wolf.
Jim Deshays.
Ted Lilly.
For me, it's Ted Lilly.
It's Lilly.
Yeah,
it's Ted Lilly.
I was thinking Witte was winning that one.
Is he a lefty? Ted Lilly's a lefty, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need a lefty in our
Randy
staff.
Randy Wolf also a lefty.
I kind of like Bottenfield. Bottenfield's a delightful name.
Ted Lilly, man.
Bottenfield was a centerpiece of the Jim Edmonds trade, and he did make an all-star game, so probably even too good for this game,
going
even
first
though career
is,
two.
Going first is hurting Mike, right?
Yeah. No, physically, in terms of most physically funny, Ken Bottenfield.
Yeah.
Just the shape of the man.
All right, so votes in. It seems like Lily's.
I go Ted Lilly.
I think Ted Lilly.
Ted Lilly, number four.
Ted Lilly. It's number four.
All right, number three. Number three. You'll begin to see a pattern now with my four and three. Number three is Sidney Ponsone.
Oh, excellent.
Well done.
Also been a three, also been a four, also been a five, and a spot start. Really strong. Yes. Number one.
Kevin Tappany.
Wow. Had a great year. I think he was a one for a year or two. Just for a year or two. Cup of coffee.
I kind of wish I could just re-say some ones I've already said, but I'll go with Derek Lowe.
It's good.
Yeah.
Good one. Solid. If he's your number two, you have a good team.
Another good ground baller.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Capuano.
Excellent.
Wow.
Excellent.
Well done.
Excellent. I am so jealous. Doyle Alexander.
Yeah. Killing with Mike. Right.
I'm only playing the game for Mike.
Charles Nagy.
He had 1 year where he was so good. Wasn't he the
He was on the mound when the Marlins won the World Series.
Oh, no, Mike, he had a couple of good years, yes. But the year you're talking, he had a 19-7 year with
the 2-5
ERA.
Was he the ace of the 97 Cleveland team?
I don't.
This one for
Hershiser.
They had Hershiser go in game one, I think.
They did. Yeah.
Nagy might have been an all-star.
For me, this one's between Mike Ryan and Witte. Sidney Ponsone, Witte. Well, which one was yours?
Chris Capuano.
Oh, those are two good ones.
Really strong.
So good.
I'll omit myself from the final decision, but I feel like I have a good hand.
I'll omit myself.
I'm going
as well.
Sidney Ponsone soon, whatever it is.
What do you think, Mike?
Ponsone's a good call.
Yeah, it's been decided. Yes. Sidney Ponsone, definitive number three.
Okay.
I start the round of number twos. I'm going Andy Ashby.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That is good.
Jose Rio.
Ace?
Nah, he was second to Tom Browning.
Tom Browning, yeah. But Rio had some ace-like years, I feel like.
The name translates to Joe River.
Joe River.
I'm going with Brad Penny. Like I said all my good ones earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really blew your wad in the OLIs.
Yeah.
Kevin Millwood.
Pretty good. Ooh,
Penny went toe-to-toe with Jason Schmidt in 03, though.
Bob Tewksbury.
Runaway winner. I'm already writing Tewksbury. I don't even know how to spell that, but I'm putting that into two.
T-E-W-K-S.
Stu, this is the best work you've ever done.
Thank you.
My number two, Brad Radke.
Wow. Oh, yes. Borderline ace, but we did agree beforehand that the Twins only had number twos.
Yeah.
So therefore. But out of all the number twos, he might have been the best in the 90s.
All right. So votes in for Tewksbury?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's hard to beat.
All right. I'll lead off the number one.
A lot of hardware for me, man. This is
also a team over here.
My number one, number two is Tom Gorzolani.
Holy crap.
This is a fun face to look at.
It makes me smile.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
Darren Dryford.
Very good.
For me, the best number two of all time, Mark Burley.
Todd Stottlemyre.
Excellent.
Oh, that's excellent. I like it.
I feel like I'm still alive right now.
I might have a winner here. Moose Haas.
Yes.
Moose is loose.
So good.
My number. Wait, I'm a. No, wait, I'm at number one, right?
It's your number one, number two. Yeah.
The best one. Yeah.
Your number one, number two.
Aaron Harang.
Yeah. Oh,
that's it. That's it. Might have had a cup of coffee as a number one for the Reds for a couple years, but still, definitely number two. No.
Sip of that two. Coffee.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Number three is tomorrow.
All right. So our definitive.
Brett Tomko.
Wow. We're off to a flyer. All right. So our definitive list at the end of our, was a drum session? What do we call it?
Mark Redman.
Drum circle.
Drum circle. Mm-hmm. OLI Vicente Padilla. Number five, is it Todd Gullickson?
Tom Gullickson.
Tom Gullickson.
Yeah.
Number four is Ted Lilly. Number three is Sidney Ponson.
That could have been number one, honestly.
$2.
Yeah.
Number two, it's, what's Tewksbury's first name?
Bob
Tewksbury. And number one is Aaron Harang.
So good.
I'm really proud of the work that we've done today.
So good.
Gentlemen, we owe ourselves a round of applause.
It's been an honor.
Just give it up.
You were right. Really definitive list. Yes. Definitive list.
Good list.
Oh, a standing up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hey, Tony,
come on. You like it.
What's the stat of the day?
Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Gentlemen, as of last night, there is exactly one team in the Western Conference with a winning record on the road in the NBA. It's the goddamn Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings, who won in Minnesota last night. Their away record is 12-10. They are the only team in the Western Conference with a winning record on the road. Light the beam, baby. Sacramento Kings update and stat of the day combined into one simple statement. You're welcome.
Wow. If I hadn't already burned out a standing ovation, I would have done it for you there.
Yeah, that was well done.
All right, so number three is tomorrow, yes?
Yeah, number three. Are you opening a pack of baseball cards, Mike?
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. We should do that real quick. Again,
this one GoFundMe is loaded.
Loaded. That's how
what
I got
loaded my
that's
shirt
how
appearance.
I got number twos from Bruce Hirsch yesterday.
Wow. An hour one for the ages.
Yeah. GoFundMe.com/podcast to give money to ALS Research in honor of our friend Sarah Langs at MLB.com. Also, it's winding down this week, so do it quickly. Also, go to send an email to podcast raffle once you've done that to be entered to win a bunch of old baseball cards and prizes and signed books. People keep like offering more and more prizes to this thing, so it's turning into a big deal. So donate money, enter your name at podcastraffle.com. Gmail.com. Listen to the podcast for more details. Here we go.
This segment be a good, has so many
legs. It's got to be a number two starter.
This segment has so many legs. Just open up like an 07 NHL pack so I can yell Peter Sikora.
Jim Leyritz. Starting off strong with Jim Leyritz.
Wow.
98.
Yeah. One of the biggest home runs in World Series history.
Robbie Alomar.
This is a great pack so far.
Mm-hmm.
Does this count? I think it does as a number two. Mel Rojas.
Oh, yeah. You bet it does.
Suppose.
Second baseman whose names make you smile.
Oh, we've had Mike Bielecki before. There's Mike Bielecki.
Yeah.
What a great 90s name. Jose Uribe.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a good one. Yeah. Great one. That's one, Chris.
I think this counts too. Mark Clark. Yeah. Remember Mark Clark?
Yeah.
Funny name. Mark Clark.
There's Bagwell.
Wait a second. Hold up the Bagwell again.
Astros jersey. Yeah.
Pre or post? Is that what you're trying to figure out?
He looks different.
Something. I can't put my finger on it.
6 feet, 195, it says on the back.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Skinny little skinny
wow.
guy. Yeah.
Skinny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bob Patterson.
That's excellent. Number four.
Look at that max effort pitcher. Yeah, right look at that.
The follow through.
Oh, a number two we absolutely forgot about. John Burkett.
Oh my God.
No, he was going to be on my threes list.
Oh my God.
He's maybe two. More of a three.
Yeah.
But had but a year as a two. He did.
At times was a two. Yeah. No question.
Mm-hmm. But three eligible.
Yes.
And we end with Harold Baines on the A's.
Solid.
I had a John Burkett Pog once. Remember
Pog?
This.
Yeah. Look at this skinny little speedster, guys. It's Brady Anderson.
Yeah. A little slap-hitting leadoff man.
A little slap-hitting lefty. 6'1", 185, it says on the back.
Yeah. 185, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Steroids are the best. The best.
51 homers one year. I think he hit more than 20.
I couldn't get over Luis Gonzalez weighing 172 in a previous card, barely fitting into his uniform.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it. Number threes tomorrow, okay? Number three starters tomorrow.
Copy that. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
What an hour.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.